Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello. We have an exciting breaking news extravaganza to bring you in this edition of Spin the Rally Pod. I'm Lisa Rose Sullivan. And here at dirtfish.com, we are delighted to bring you confirmation that Ireland's Craig Breen will be driving for M Sport Ford for the next two seasons in the World Rally Championship. Now, our 31-year-old has plenty of experience, having driven for Peugeot in WRC2 and the ERC, for the Abu Dhabi Total World Rally Team in the Citroën. And most recently, he has continued his love affair with the Grand Prix of Gravel by finishing third in Finland, driving for Hyundai Motorsport. From now on, though, he will not be having to re-tilt his seat back or readjust the windscreen mirror, because he will not be sharing his brand new ride, the all-new hybrid Ford Puma. Dirtfish.com's Colin Clark has been a busy boy getting reaction to this great story, and if you stay with us for another 45 minutes or so, you'll hear from M Sport team boss Rich Milliner on his new signing, Craig Breen's co-driver Paul Nagel, and his dad, former national champion Ray Breen. But let's start with the man of the moment himself, talking to our very own voice of rally, Colin Clark.
Craig Breen, what a day. What a day. You've worked all your career for this moment. A factory driver for Ford in the 2022 season. Just tell me how that feels.
Pretty surreal, to be fair. You know, it's, like you said, it's what I've worked for all my life. It's been a tough old, whatever it is, 11 or 12 years trying to get there. Honestly, it's a bit full circle. I thought this was going to happen all along. I really felt like this was kind of where I belonged. But I think, honestly, it's the best time for it to happen right now. I don't think I was in a good position before to do it. And I really think now we're both meeting ourselves at the right point. So, can't wait.
A lot of drivers were up for this seat. You know, there were a lot of drivers who talked pretty bullishly about their opportunities. Malcolm chose you. Why do you think he chose you?
Had to ask him, but look, at obviously our pace this year has been quite good. We've been quite consistent, and I think that myself and Paul bring a lot to the team. And yeah, there has been other people that have been, you know, definitely in the shout for the seat. It hasn't been just ourselves, you know, flying away with everything. But I think our results have spoken, and I think Malcolm and Richard and all the team see that myself and Paul are very committed, and you know, I think that's what they're wanting.
You know, I think what you've shown this year is that you're a rally winner, and that's what M Sport need for 2022. You know, they've got this continued backing from Ford. They need to show that this car, this magnificent looking car, is a winner. There's a bit of pressure on you because, you know, Malcolm's got a bit of a reputation for building cars that are quick out of the box. You could have something very, very special on your hands here.
Yeah, potentially I could have, you know, the most special car in the service park. You know, definitely from what I've seen so far, the guys and girls there are something quite incredible, to be honest. The motivation there has been really good. And for sure, there's pressure. You know, I'm going to lead the team into the championship, and it's the first time in my career that I'll have something like that. I still feel quite young at 30 whatever years of age. But I'm relishing it. I'm looking forward to it. It's what I've wished for. So now it's time to get on with it.
Yeah, a lot of people won't realise this is your first full season contract in the World Rally Championship. You've been around forever. This is your first time you've had a full season.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's always been somebody to take over from me at some point. Even the Citroën years. Seasons that were supposed to be full seasons didn't end up being in the end, so that's just how it's been. But it's what I've always wanted, is that continuity and not jumping between R5 and World Car, and it was good to do the couple of rallies in the R5 car and keep fresh, but it was just to do something rather than nothing. Whereas now, you know, I can't wait to feel at home inside in a World Rally car all year.
Tell us about this new car, the 2022 car. We've discovered today that you've already tested it. You're involved in the development. How important is that, that you are involved in the development of it? You have a say in the way that this car is developed and set up?
Yeah, look, it's important. Definitely, you know, it's a whole new dawn for the sport, to be honest. Not just for the cars themselves, but for the sport and for how the sport is, you know, played out with these hybrids, you know, type of driving. It's really different. It's really, really something, you know, I wouldn't say strange, but, you know, not like it how it's been for the last couple of years. So it's going to be interesting, definitely, going forward. Yeah.
Do you think everyone will adapt? Do you think everyone will be able to get into these cars and drive them? From what I hear, it is quite a different style. It's quite a different way to drive, quite a different approach perhaps needed for the rallies.
Yeah, no, it's for sure there will be people that will struggle, and there will be people that will, you know, really settle into it straight away. You know, for me, from what I've seen so far, you know, it's definitely going to take a lot of getting used to it. But look, we're all starting from relatively the same, you know, the same same sheet of paper, so it's going to be a new task. Yeah.
I'd have to say we all expected to see you somewhere next year. A little bit surprised, I'd have to say, that Mr. Adamo or Hyundai didn't have you nailed down. You've done such a wonderful job for them this year. But thoroughly deserved, Craig Bean. And great to see Paul next year. Is that confirmed? You can confirm that Paul will be with you for the whole of the 2022 season?
I felt like throwing a bit of spice at the whole co-driving thing at the minute, because it seemed to be the fashion to...
There's plenty around.
Exactly, yeah. It seemed to be the fashion to do it at the moment. I actually texted him in the middle of all that, and I said, I feel like today I should sack you and then, you know, see where you end up. And then it's like when you throw a load of balls up in the air and everybody catches one and you see which one you
are. They used to do something in the 70s, didn't they, where they put all the keys into a pond?
That's a whole different kettle of fish. But yeah, no, Paul will be back in again. Honestly, we get on like a house on fire. You know, it's really a good relationship, and since we started back into this thing, you know, the two of us in 2019, it's just been really positive atmosphere, and you know, we both complement each other well, so it's great.
I have to say, I am totally delighted with the news today. It is thoroughly deserved. I know there are a lot of people in the rally world that have been waiting for this moment as well. Craig, can't wait. Can't wait to see you out and about. Can't wait to see Paul. Can't wait to see Mammy and Pappy Breen as well, because I'm sure they will be the most proud parents in all of Ireland.
Yeah, look, it's a nice moment. And I have to thank, you know, everybody that's been involved in getting the deal together, you know, not only from M Sport side, but from my own side personally, obviously, my dad and James Coleman, they've been, you know, deeply involved with everything along the way. And they've been able to take a lot of the pressure, a lot of the weight away from me when I've been still competing, and been able to continue the talks behind my back in a positive way, and to be let me, you know, go on and do my season this year. So it's all thanks to all them, really.
Go smash 2022. Best of luck, Craig Breen.
Thank you. Thanks.
Well, perhaps the proudest man on the island of Ireland this morning is Ray Breen, Craig Breen's dad. Ray, I'd have to say it's an absolute delight and an honour to speak to you this morning, as always. As I say, quite possibly the proudest man in all of Ireland this morning.
Yeah, you're right, Colin, quite possibly. We've been waiting quite some time for something like this to happen, hopefully, in inverted commas. And it looks like the eagle has landed. So we are, as a family, very, very chuffed and delighted for Craig.
Yeah, you've always been, you know, it has always been a family effort, hasn't it? Yourself and your lovely wife and Craig, yeah. And the whole family. It's right from the very start, it's been all about the family succeeding, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's I suppose in the very early days, Colin, it was a family affair. So, like, we had a local guy in Tipperary, Cashel, local to at home, that ran Craig in everything that he did before he got the contract with Peugeot Sport. You know, we organized everything. We brought family and friends, it wasn't a trinket. It was serious, but we brought as many people as we could for support, because you know yourself, it can be a very lonely sport if it doesn't go exactly your own way.
Yeah, you know, people forget that, don't they? You know, they think it's all very glamorous, traveling the world, you know, taking part in rallies. But yeah, you know, if it's not going your way and you're on your own and you haven't got that tight-knit family support around you, it can be very difficult. And at times, you know, it's fair to say over the years, you have had to be there for Craig.
Oh yeah, without question. He's had some difficult times, both through motorsport in its own right and other things. So it's always nice, and sometimes you just need somebody to let off steam on. Yeah. And rather than do it to the camera all the time, you like to be there, to maybe just allow him do that.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot I want to ask you about, Ray, but, talking about letting off steam and Craig, he's got this wonderful turn of phrase, and we saw it again in Finland, or we heard it again in Finland. He comes through 25, 30 kilometres of flat out, door handle stuff through the finish stages. And he comes up with some great phrases at the stage end. What did he say in Finland? He said, sometimes you just have to leave your balls on the dash.
Yeah.
I mean, where does this all come from? Is it all from you, Ray? I'm sure it's not from his mum.
Look, it probably comes from the team of people that he's around. Like, Ireland can be very matter of fact about stuff, and we've got a lot of phraseology, and people joke quite a lot at home. And in actual fact, in a lot of countries around the world, it's not generally accepted, and people don't understand what we're doing. And sometimes, in actual fact, people can take it as a bit of an insult. Say, look, this guy is taken as a big joke. But it's far from that. And it's like you said, it's the adrenaline of a 30 kilometer stage. At least it's something that's a little bit jovial, rather, that he can say something like that rather than saying something that perhaps mightn't be best respected on the air.
Do you know what I think is great about Craig at stage ends and what he says? It's not just at stage ends. Listen, it's in every interview you do with him, is that his absolute joy of driving comes through, and he never ever forgets just how lucky he is. And you do wonder with some of these youngsters whether they actually enjoy doing what they're doing, because at times they can be so miserable and so dour and so down about things. But with Craig, I don't think, certainly no one that I know has ever thought he's disrespecting the sport. It's purely his joy of being there and doing what he does so well that shines through with those sorts of comments.
Yeah, you're right, and we had a conversation when he was last back in at home with us in Ireland, in the house one night. We were having a good old cup of chat, somebody had asked him about, becoming a motorsport driver, not necessarily a rally driver, but a motorsport driver. And his answer to him was, unless it's your passion, unless you wake up every morning and think about it, it doesn't necessarily have to take over your life. But you have to so much want to do it, then don't do it. Because unless you can dedicate every second, and unless it comes number one, so your career comes number one and everything else around you comes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, unless you can put it in that order, then don't do it.
And yeah, that's great.
I think that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, it's very enlightening when you look at it that way, isn't it? And for sure, with Craig, you look back and that's absolutely the way he's treated his motorsport career. But let's go back a few years, Ray, because, we've already talked to Craig this morning and he's talked about his days, his early days, if you like, and his introduction to the sport, which was in the back of your car on recce. You were no mean peddler yourself in your day. You could certainly steer a car around the stages at a pretty quick speed. But, at what point did you realise, Ray, actually, my kid might end up being better at this than I am?
Probably from an early age, but I didn't know in the real early part whether Craig's want for the sport was, how will I put it to you, a means of getting him away from other things of a weekend. Like when he started karting, he liked it, but I didn't know whether he loved it or not. So I suppose there was a little bit of this and that. So it was for him, but it was also for the family, because myself and Jackie got away as well. and we met a great family of friends through the karting experience. And then, it came to the end of that. And he said, look, Dad, actually, believe it or not, his karting days ended with a mutual agreement on the day he was black flagged in a race for. I have to say, he's my son. He was black flagged for something he shouldn't have been black flagged for. Somebody that was tormenting him, pushing him off. And Craig came along and pushed him off and eventually got black flagged. But anyway, we both agreed on that day that, you know, karting is just not, it's not something that we were all getting enjoyment out of, at least Craig. So he said, look, I'd like to try my hand at rallying. He said, this rallying is where my heart would be anyway. So it was, as it happened, it was just coming up to his 17th birthday. So we went off and got him his a couple of lessons and his driving test. And lo and behold, I think about maybe a week after his 17th birthday, he did his first rally. And, you know, he had a fantastic weekend. I can't even remember where he finished now, but he'll tell you that himself. But he just came back in. He said, you know what, Dad? He said, this is where it's at. And I said, fine. Yeah. So, you know, we did a bit of clubman stuff for a while. And then, you know, we had some chats. And, you know, Craig, do you really think you might make a career out of this? And I'd like to give it a shot. And we started to get a little bit serious then, maybe about a year after he started. So in and around his 18th birthday, somewhere around there. I think we hired a C2R2 or something like that. And quite quickly, we said, look, to do a real test to see if you're going to be able to do this thing properly, you know, let's enter a championship. Let's see how you are against other people. So we got a little Fiesta ST. And at the time, M Sport were running, they were both running a UK championship for the ST, but they were also doing a world championship. Mm-hmm. And we entered both. And I think he won both that year.
I think he did. I remember that. That was when I first remember Craig. It was 2008, yeah. 2009, somewhere around then.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to attempt to do the years thing because I'm useless at that. but I can remember the details. Yeah. So yeah, after that, then we said, okay, you know, let's move it the next step, and we got him the R2 car, and it was a 1600 normally aspirated back in those days, and entered the British Championship, and yeah, he did quite well over there. Now, I don't know that he won any events. He may have won one or two, but he was thereabouts on them all. And I suppose then we said, okay, right, let's give this a right shot. And we sort of entered him in as many rallies as we possibly could. An R2 car, in relative terms, is cheap to run. So we said, let's get all the rallying if possible in a smaller car, because I knew when he moved on to what it was at the time, a Super 2000, that it was a horrifically expensive car to run in comparison to the smaller cars, you know. So it sort of grew from there.
Yeah, and it grew very quickly, didn't it? Because it's not too many years after that, probably 2 or 3 years after that, that he actually went on. You know, I'm going to call it the Junior World Championship. I know at the time it was called the Academy, and I've spoken to Craig about that, you know, and for me, that would just, that would hurt me. It really would. He was one of the only year or two where it was called the Academy and not what it should have been called, which is the Junior Championship.
And whenever anybody asks me about it, I say the same thing. Well, he won the Academy, what's now the JWRC, in whatever year. I help us follow it up by that, yeah.
Yeah, because it was the JWRC before, and then it was this for a couple of years, it was the Academy, and then it reverted back to what it should have been, the Junior World Rally Championship. But we were only talking a very few years into his rallying career that he won that, obviously, with Jaffa next to him. And you know, that was some performance. At that point, you're thinking, yeah, you know, these boys really have the potential to move on. And then, sadly, we know what happened. And that, if you don't mind talking a little bit about that, Ray, you know, I think it was a kind of mark of just how strong Craig is. He still feels that he still has Jaffa in the car with him. But he was able, after a long time and a lot of help, I'm sure, he was able to move on and in some ways to use that dreadful experience quite positively almost.
Yeah. Obviously, the incident in Sicily, you know, affected us all and will affect us for the rest of all our lives. You know, that's reality. Jaffa wasn't just a navigator for Craig. He became a part of our family because we sort of, Craig was doing so much rallying. Jaffa was in our house quite a lot. He was away. We were in the same hotels. We were in the caravans for lunch. You know, so he was pretty much a part of our family. So when that horrible day happened in Sicily, it was genuinely like losing one of our own. And the whole circumstances around that were shocking, because in actual fact, it was the first rally that me and Jackie hadn't gone to in I don't know how long. And we were, believe it or not, we were packing our bags at home. We were going to Australia to my daughter when I got that. I will never forget the call that I got. So look, you know, we obviously didn't know, you know, what to even say to Craig after that. So we picked him up from the airport along with the people around him that were supporting him, Tom Gann again, and a couple of guys that had gone out to give him a hand, Andrew Purcell, a very good friend of the families, and there were a number of people out there. So we picked them all up from the airport, and kind of it was in my mind not to say anything, you know, to forget about rallying for the moment, and let's go home and try and regroup. And obviously we had Gareth's funeral to get everybody across to, and so on. And he just said to me in the airport, he pulled me to one side, and he just said, "Dad, I don't want to stop."
Mm. Wow.
And yeah, that was tough. Yeah.
I'll bet it was. Jeez. Oh, geez, what an emotional thing. But what a brave thing for him to say, because you know he's in the middle of the most tumultuous period in his life. He's just lost his best mate, and you know, he has the determination to understand what Gareth, what Jaffa would have wanted, you know, because those boys had achieved so much together. And in some ways, today is 10 years of working towards what Gareth would have wanted. You know, this first full-time drive. And it's easy to forget that this is Craig Breen's first full-time drive in the World Rally Championship. It's 10 years of paying tribute to his best mate.
Yeah. And just to reflect back on it a second, the only way Craig could have said what he did to me in the airport that morning when we picked him up was Gareth's dad, Mike Roberts, had called Craig and said, "Don't you dare hang up your boots."
Yeah. Wow. You know? Well, what a brave man he was. What a brave man he was to say that. And what a decent fella to make that phone call.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So he got massive support from
the... Yeah, yeah. Do you know what, Ray? He's never been afraid to hide his emotions, Craig, has he? And you know, we obviously we saw it in the years after you know, Gareth's death, but we see it whenever he has good times or bad times in a stage. Yeah. He's a naturally very open and emotional boy, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, in some respects, it's probably what's gotten him through the last 10 years. The fact that he can openly talk about it. Talk about it to us, talk about it to you, talk about it to anybody that wants to listen, because there were good times. And, you know, it was a shame that that end of it had to come to an end. But like he says, Gareth lives with him.
So. He does. He does very much so. Now, listen, you know, the last 10 years, we could talk for hours about the last 10 years because, you know, he's worked hard. He's worked really, really hard. He's enjoyed some success. He's had what we thought were really positive starts with Citroen, for example, and then it was knocked back again. But, you know, where do you think he's at just now, Ray, in terms of his driving? Where do you think he's at and where do you think he can go in terms of his driving?
Craig again, we've had this conversation. He is about 90% of where he needs to go. And there's no question about it. There are two things that's happened this year. There's actually three things. So number one is full-time all rounds contract. Second thing, a multi-year contract. And the third thing is, and I'm going to forget that the third thing is not having every stage that you're doing as an interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the biggest issue he had for the last 5 years, is every stage you do, more obviously every rally you do, but every stage you do is an interview. Who's looking at you? Who are you going to be able to impress? And as well as that, you've got to look around you to see what seats are becoming available. And there wasn't an awful lot available. So I think he's probably made the best opportunity of what's been happening around.
He absolutely has. And you know, this seat at M Sport, clearly since the Hyundai boys did their deal very early on in the year, there's been a lot of speculation and a lot of very well-qualified drivers have been talked about. But you know, at the end of the day, Malcolm Wilson and M Sport have gone with who they consider to be the best driver. And I suspect that is because they see exactly what you're talking about. that he's only 90% the finished product. The other drivers who were all in the frame, you could argue, perhaps seen their best days, you know, and we've certainly seen the best of them. Whereas Craig, the best is yet to come. And I think that's, you know, Malcolm Wilson has always wanted to take a little bit of a gamble. And I suspect that's exactly why he's gone with Craig before those other guys, because he can see that there's still 10% improvement to come. And that 10%, goodness me, that could deliver titles for him.
Well, absolutely. It's you know, Craig is joining M Sport for one reason and one reason only. And he wants to be world champion. There is no question. And I firmly believe he will be. And, you know, if a bit of luck goes his way next year, he could actually do it next year.
Do you know what, Ray? I'm going to tell you something. You know, this M Sport deal that's been announced today in Finland at the weekend, you know, all of the journalists in the media room knew all about it, clearly. And we were talking
It's been the worst kept secret ever.
It has. Yeah, it's been fairly badly kept, but hey-ho, you know, we've done our bit and we've kept quiet about it anyway. But we did discuss it with a number of journalists, and I could sense a change, because two or three of them actually independently said, particularly after the performance that Craig put in Finland, you know what? Craig Breen, with that M Sport car, which we reckon is quite possibly going to be the best car next year, we now have to consider him as a potential world champion next year. Now, you know, people will start talking that way the more we see the M Sport car. How will Craig deal with that? You know, is it pressure? You know, we saw Robin Perra struggling with the pressure at the weekend. Is it pressure that Craig can deal with?
To be honest, Colin, I think Craig has dealt with so much pressure for the last 10 years. I think this is just Eureka time. This is, you know, this is the harnesses are off. Yes, of course, he has to perform for M Sport, Malcolm, who's given him the opportunity to compete next year at the top level and a top car for every event. So, yes, there's a bit of pressure, but I've seen such a change in Craig, in his personality, in his demeanor. You know, I could be wrong. I hope I'm not. But I think the pressure of the last 10 years will do him for the next 10 years.
Yeah. No, I agree with you totally. I think he is as well prepared to deal with it as any driver in the championship has been in their careers. So, no, I'm sure he'll deal very well with it. It's an exciting day. It really is. It's exciting for obviously your family, Ray, for yourself and your lovely wife, Jackie. It's exciting for all of Irish rallying. You know, because Ireland, as we know, the Irish are absolutely passionate about rallying. And to have, you know, is this the first Irish factory driver? I think it just about probably is, isn't it?
Well, I should know this, Billy Coleman drove for Porsche.
Right.
We actually had an Irish winner of the Monte Carlo many, many years ago. Well, sorry, actually, I want to be very politically correct here. He's from the north of Ireland, but a guy by the name of Paddy Hopkirk. From the island of Ireland. Yeah.
Well, if we're talking the island of Ireland, we have to talk we have to talk, obviously, Chris Meek as well, don't we? But I was talking about Southern Irish. I was trying to be a little bit politically correct myself there. Sure, failing again, Ray. Failing miserably, I was.
Me too, but it looks good.
But listen, you know, the whole of Ireland will celebrate, that's for sure. And fingers crossed, the whole of Ireland will celebrate rally wins with Craig and Paul next year, because I think it's got to be, you know, if their intention is to win the championship, yes, you can win the championship without winning rallies. But he's got to be there pushing for wins next year. And I think those opportunities will come very, very early on in the season for him and for M Sport.
I actually believe so. Once he gets into the car, sort of two rallies in a row, maybe four rallies in a row, then I think you can see him pushing that last 10%. Yeah, absolutely. Oh.
It's going to be exciting. Ray, listen, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sure you're going to be a very busy man today with everyone after a bit of your time. It's been a joy talking to you, as it always is. Send our love and our regards to your lovely wife, to Jackie, and to the rest of the family. And Ray, we will catch up with you, I'm sure, very soon, somewhere very soon indeed. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks very much, Colin.
Well, Paul Nagel has been sitting next to Craig Breen for a number of years now, and that partnership will continue into the M Sport era. And, well, Paul, just the most incredible news this morning. You guys have known about it for some time now. But the fact that it's broken, the fact that you have this deal, this two-year deal as lead drivers at M Sport, what a relief, first of all, to you and Craig.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. It's been a busy few months for us. Obviously, the news is out this morning, and probably a bit of relief as well, because it's hard to keep things at a secret at the moment with all social media and all the avenues of social media. But it's fantastic news for us, for myself and Craig. We've worked very hard for it over the last couple of years. It's a great boost for Irish motorsport. It's a great boost for our careers, and hopefully it will bring more stability to us in the championship next year, and have a full season, which Craig has been really looking for over the last couple of years. And I think our performances this year and some of the events as well last year, it's rightly deserved, and we deserve our place at the top table in this championship. And to be involved with M Sport and the history they have and the history they have in Ireland, it's going to be a new challenge. It's another chapter in my rallying career. And maybe a few years ago, I didn't think this would come again, but I'm really looking forward to it. I have the fire back in me again after a couple of difficult years in the sport, if we'll put it that way. And the last 2 years have been a blessing to be sitting with Craig and really enjoying it and having good fun and enjoying the sport I really loved and where I started off many, many moons ago as a young lad. Enjoying the sport, I'm back enjoying it now very much again and can't wait to get started next year.
Do you know what? I am so pleased to hear that, Paul, because as you say, a couple of years ago, it was very different, wasn't it? You'd almost fallen out of love with the sport. You'd been through some very difficult times. And so I think at one point you may even have talked about retiring, but there's no talk of that certainly anymore.
No, I think that it's the way the cards fell at the end of 2018 that I had no drive and I had a lot of problems. Well, my dad was very unwell as well, and Craig obviously didn't have a seat then 2019, and then there was a lot of co-driver shuffling around, and we came to ourselves in January in 19, and myself and Craig had nothing, and we just kind of fell in with each other, went off to doing the Irish Championship. And for sure, I had discussed it at home at Christmas, maybe after my dad passing and everything, and I had my five victories. I had some fantastic results down to the year, and I had definitely thought about retiring, and as for sure that the sport wasn't good to me at that time, and I had definitely lost a lot of that passion I had for it. And that's for another day's talk. But I said already, I can't wait to get going. And it's been a fantastic 2 or 3 years. When we did rallies in Europe, we did rallies at home in Ireland, and we dabbled in different things. But you need to be back in the World Championship. You need to be doing these rallies, and it's where we belong. And it's a challenge now to go back and do a full season next year.
Paul, I think the most exciting thing about your partnership with Craig is that there is clearly more to come, but the expectation of wins will be there.
For sure, Colin, there will be. M Sport will be expecting us to win rallies next year. They'll be expecting big performances and podiums, and Malcolm will have the pressure on there, obviously, and that's what will be expected us to be involved with the team next year. But we've put in a very hard 2 years, and we have obviously improved in every rally. We've stringed results together. Craig is very, very consistent. We're getting faster and faster. We showed our speed in Estonia this year. We were very close in Ypres, and obviously we led in Finland. So like the speed is there. We're just very, very close to that top step. And I think now with the security of a future and a security of two full seasons in the World Championship, that top step is going to happen next year, and it has to happen.
Yeah. How much of a difference do you think that will make? You know, we talked to Ray Breen earlier on to Craig's dad, and he said it's been difficult the last few years because almost every stage is like an audition. It's like an interview, you know, so you want to make sure it's right. You want to push as hard as you can. But at the same time, you know, you're maybe not pushing to absolutely 100%, because if it goes wrong, the whole thing could go the wrong way. So how much do you think that security of that deal is going to allow him to progress as a driver?
Yeah, I think you worded it well there. Every stage was an audition, and especially last year with COVID and everything, we had landed to Estonia and we got a fantastic second place. Like in every stage there, like without that second place last year, things could have been very different this year. And I know from past experience as well that you need stability in this championship. You need stability in a long-term contract to get the final couple of percent out of it. And I'd showed in the last couple of rallies, obviously you said earlier, we had a couple of months planning this with M Sport, and that security, you know, our future was going to be there. We went off and produced three fantastic results, and that was all based that we knew our future was more or less secure. And with that, everything gets easier is probably the wrong word. It gets more relaxed, and you're not auditioning. You're not one of these people looking for a seat that you feel comfortable. And we went out in Finland and we felt so comfortable in the car. Our future was secure, and it just showed in the times, and it just came easy is the wrong word. It just came more natural and more relaxed. And when you're relaxed and you're comfortable, the results just come a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly shown as the season has progressed. And as you say, as your future has become more clear, Craig has driven better and better. And I do wonder, I really do wonder how much more there is to come. I think there's still quite a bit to come from both yourself and Craig. You know, again, I talked to Ray about this earlier. The atmosphere in the press centre in Jyväskylä, in terms of what people were saying about you guys, changed as the rally went on. And a number of journalists were actually talking, particularly on the back of your performance in Finland, were talking about Craig Breen, Paul Nagel, in what we know is going to be a magnificent car, have to be considered as potential world champions next year. Is that a bit much to think?
That's strong talk by you. But look, everyone's saying the Ford is a fantastic car. The history they have, they come out with a superb car when the new generation of cars do come out. Yes. Look, we have to work very hard between here and January. Everyone's going into the unknown. We have a hybrid era coming. The car's going to be heavier. Everyone does all different new technology, new rules, new regulations. So it's going to be new for everyone. Hyundai won't build a bad car. Toyota won't build a bad car. But the one thing is, Craig is very, very, very consistent and very, very rarely makes mistakes. So he is a very good team player. We put on a fantastic job this year with Hyundai and brought in a lot of points for them, both for power stage points and podiums for them. So to be the number one driver in Ford next year and to lead the team and put all those results on the board, and if the car is reliable, which I totally expect it will be, and competitive too, and then we string a few results together early on the season, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. What do you think is his best or his strongest asset? Paul, you know him as well as anyone. What do you think Craig Breen's best asset is as a driver, as a competitor?
Craig's very, very clever. Very clever inside in the car. He always knows his own limits. He knows where the risks are. He knows when to take risks. And he's always calculated. You look at his results down through the years. There's very rarely a mistake or a couple. You have your offs now and again. But even in the ERC during the year, he's always very calculated and knows when to push and knows when to do the right things. And that's where it really works. And from a team's point of view, he's a fantastic team player and works very well with the team and tests with Ait and Thierry all this year. And he's learned a lot from them and we've learned a lot together, how to progress. And I think that's a lot of his good features and good strengths in himself is that he learns from other people and he's very good at testing and developing a car as well. And he puts some resources into each event and he really puts a lot of work into preparing for every rally as well. So there'll be no stone unturned when we turn for Monte Carlo and the Col di Torino come January.
Yeah, it's going to be some effort that is. Listen, Paul, you know, when you get into that car as the co-driver to Craig Breen in Monte Carlo in 2022, you'll almost be the elder statesman of the co-driving pack.
Yeah, I've been around a long time now, and but as I said earlier, I'm still enjoying it. It's been probably 2004, my first WRC rally, and it's been the IRC days as well, and I've clocked up a lot of rallies now, and I've a lot of experience, and I will be one of the elderly. There's a lot of young fellas coming in through, coming behind me now, but as we saw during the year, there's a lot of scarcity of the co-drivers at the moment. There's a lot of shuffling around, so there's a few years left in the old dog yet.
Okay, I've no doubt about that. But listen, I mean, do you think personally you'll be preparing maybe slightly differently for Monte Carlo this year? You know, physically, we hear for co-drivers, these new cars are going to be quite demanding. You know, there's no room for a couple of extra pounds of a couple of extra portions of Christmas turkey, really, is there, in those cars?
No, the cars are very, very, there's not much space inside in the cars. And for sure, it's going to be a very compact car. The new regulations, the FIA put in an awful lot of resources into having these cars a lot safer. So yeah, we'd have to have the Turkey kilos. It'll have to be off very early in January.
but you're good at that. You used to do that in the Citroen days, didn't you? You were really good at keeping the weight down. And what were you down to, 71, 72 kilos at one point?
Yeah, that was the plan. But that was after 2014 and 15. But now, as I get a bit older, as you know yourself, it's a bit harder to shed those kilos. But I'll keep on top of it from here to Christmas, and I hope to be in the best condition I can Saturday in Monte Carlo. And that's the target, is to nothing else now between here and January. Just focus on that start line, the first stage, and head up out of Monaco in the new generation's car. And it's fantastic to be involved again, because I was there for the last start of the last generation as well. So as I said, it's another milestone for me, and I'm really looking forward to going again.
Oh, well, we're all so looking forward to seeing the two of you heading out of Monte Carlo and up to the Col di Torino. It's wonderful news today, Paul. It really is. It's wonderful news, obviously, for yourself, for Craig, but I think for everyone involved in rallying, because you guys bring a certain amount of joy, and you know your characters, the two of you, and you always respect the sport, and you always entertain us in the sport. So we are delighted to have you around for at least another 2 years. We look forward to seeing you in Monte Carlo, Paul. Enjoy your media commitments today. You are going to be one busy boy.
Yeah, just a note there as well, you know, Colin, with all the Irish people who are out in Finland, I don't do much social media, I keep low-key and everything, but the amount to see all the Irish flags and all the Irish support out in Finland was something very special, and it meant an awful lot to us and Craig, and we didn't see all the people out there, and especially it's gone through difficult times in the last 18 months, and so hopefully next year they'll have plenty to cheer on all these rallies, and looking forward to working with yourself and everyone else back in the WRC next year.
Obviously, the news this morning coming straight out of M Sport, and it really is tremendous news. And we're very, very lucky to have managed to get hold of the boss, Richard Milner. Richard, a busy day ahead for you, I'm sure, in terms of media commitments.
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting news for us. And yeah, it's on days like this, you don't mind speaking to people.
Yeah, people like me. You almost said people like you.
No. I always enjoy speaking to you.
Well, you know, let's discuss today's news then, Rich. You know, tremendous for M Sport, tremendous for Craig Breen and Paul Nagel, tremendous for Irish rallying. But, you know, you had a choice of drivers that you could have gone with for next year. What in particular was it about Craig Breen that made you take the punt and go with him?
You know, I think he's not been lucky enough in the past up until now to have a full season committed to him. And I think, you know, coming in on a partial season, not necessarily knowing which events you're going to do in that year and under pressure to deliver, you know, what we've seen him do this year and all the events he's been at has been incredible, really. And it's not just one-off event, you know, it's been consistent. He's pretty much been fighting for podiums or the win on every rally he's done. And I think, you know, that just shows the level he's got to now and where he is in his career. And when Malcolm and myself were discussing what we do for next year, you know, he was one of the shortlists right from the beginning. And, you know, Craig is such a natural kind of driver and so committed to the sport and rallying in general that he made an obvious choice.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting for me about Craig Breen is I don't think he's reached the peak of his performance yet. I think he's still very much on that upward curve. And it's not the steepest of upward curves, but it's still going in the right direction. He will still get better.
Yeah, and I think that shows his maturity as well, because, you know, he said publicly on the rallies when he's come to the end of a stage or partway through an event and he realises he maybe isn't in the car enough to be able to push that extra 5% to be pushing for the win, he's been sensible enough to just, you know, go to the level that he feels he's comfortable with. And the good thing is that level was still podium positions. So when he is now, or now he's got the, you know, the ability to relax and know he's got a full season next year, you know, we hope that we can give him what he needs to few percent and be up there challenging for the win. But ultimately, consistency is such a key, you know, factor as well as outright wins. And yeah, we're really excited because we think he can deliver and be in the fight for some really good results next year.
Yeah, I have to say that this deal was the talk of the media center in Finland because, you know, speculation at the time, obviously, nothing had been confirmed. But with Breen's performance in Finland, it seemed to change the view of quite a few journalists. And, you know, there was talk about potentially Craig Breen being a challenger for next year's World Championship. That has to be a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like to get ahead of ourselves. our first goal is to showcase the car that the guys are working so hard on. And, you know, we feel he can do that. And I think, you know, the result in Finland shouldn't really have been the deciding one to show what he's capable of. Because, like I say, every event he pretty much did this year, he was fighting for position. And you know, in the last 8 events, I think it is, he's finished outside the top 5 once and he's been on the podium in 4 of 8 events or something. You know, he's, if you look at those stats and look at number of WRC events that they're competing on, you struggle to find someone that's, you know, not in a drive available to beat those stats. And I think, you know, for me, it's not necessarily the stats is important because it shows what he's capable of, but just his whole mentality, his mood, the way he acts, and, you know, under pressure at the end of service, at the end of stages, he's interviewed, you know, he's just, you can see he's relaxed and he's calm and he's, you know, he knows what he needs to do. And, you know, he's at a point in his career now where I feel that he's really at the level that he needs to be at in order to win events.
Yeah, and do you know what? Paul Nagel says that perhaps his biggest attribute is his intelligence when driving. He's a very, very intelligent driver. And next year, perhaps more than any year, that's what you're going to need. You know, these new cars aren't going to be straightforward to drive. They are going to need a thoughtful approach from drivers. And that intelligence that Breen shows could be a major, major attribute in terms of competitiveness next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the people that always do well in the championships and even win championships, Mr. Ogier being a fine example, he doesn't win every rally. You know, he's just always there or thereabouts. And for me, it's quite a similar approach to kind of Craig when he gets to a point where he maybe feels he can't necessarily win that rally. He'll just still put the pressure on and be there on every stage. And number of times he's come out at the event with a better result than he kind of thought he might midway through. And, you know, it's that kind of approach and mentality that's ended up him being 9 times world champion. So I think not 9 times, that's the other 7, isn't it?
That's the other one. I was going to say 7, well, we'll see 8, shall we? Because he's going to win this year.
You get close this year. That's a faux pas on my side. But, you know, the point is that I think having that sensible approach and consistently getting results is what leads to world champions. And I do think that Craig is in that position and mentality where he can control it and he's not going to get, you know, flustered if something happens, because we've seen that on events this year. But I just think his approach to how he is, and like Paul says, being clever about what he's doing, means that there's a very good chance he'll end up with some fantastic results.
And do you know what? How important was it, I suppose, to Ford in particular, Rich, that you had someone that was sellable, that had a bit of personality, a bit of character about him, because we all know he's a magnificent driver. We all know he has the potential to go on and win rallies. But was that a factor in the decision making, you know, that he is such a sellable asset?
I think, you know, you've got to make your decisions based on performance more than anything else. Personality and the way things go and the way the person is important, but ultimately you need someone who's going to drive the car fast. And the fact that Craig is what I would class as a full-time bobblehatter as well, a bit like myself really, is only an advantage. You know, he's obsessed with rallying, he knows everything, he's a bit of a Yari Matti style encyclopedia of rallying knowledge. He wants to be in a car every day, and I think that only helps. And you know, he's great with the guys in the team, and you know, he's already, although he doesn't know many of us, he's already made some great impressions on them. And I think, you know, the way he is as a person means that the team spirit will be great. And, you know, the whole team is very much looking forward to working with him. So, you know, I think everything that comes with the Craig Breen package is all that we need to be successful. But ultimately, the number one thing is a fast driver, and we feel we've got that in him.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll fit very, very well into that M Sport family environment, won't he? Because obviously, you know, he comes from a family racing environment, and I'm sure he'll fit in very, very well. Rich, how surprised were you that perhaps, you know, he was available for next year? A lot of people are quite surprised by the news this morning that Hyundai didn't have him tied up to a contract for next year. Did that surprise you at all?
I think a little, to be honest. You know, he's shown, like I say, he's shown what he can do on a partial program, you know, that to us was really a key part of choosing and ending up making an agreement with him. Okay, Hyundai have two very good drivers on their books in terms of Thierry and Hoyt, and you know, they still have a very strong team, but ultimately Craig was playing a perfect part to that team as well in scoring and being there to score points, manufacture points. But you know, every team is entitled to its own decisions and its own directions in what they want to do, but we feel that, you know, Craig can bring an awful lot to M Sport, and you know, we're more than happy to welcome him in.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's exciting times ahead. Just last question, Rich, for you. The Rally One car for next year, how are things looking with that?
Yeah, very good. You know, things are still developing at a fast pace. It's not actually that long until Monte Carlo.
It's not at all.
So that's kind of the deadline that's looming very quickly. But, you know, Craig will actually start his first proper job with us the week after Spain, when we plan to do a multi-surface test in Spain with the new car. So that will be his first challenge, and that will give him the opportunity to really see what the car can do on proper stages. And I look forward to seeing how he gets on and hearing his feedback from that test.
Hear, hear, Rich Milliner, M Sport team boss with Colin Clark there. And I think none of us can wait to see how Craig Breen is going to get on as he moves into another gear in his WRC career. Good luck to Craig Breen. Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode of Spin the Rally Pod. If you want to keep up to date with all of our podcasts, why not subscribe right now? Through your podcast provider, there'll be a little button that says subscribe. Hit that, and the next one will arrive before you know it, because we're going to be reviewing the Rally of Finland. That will be hitting the inbox fairly soon. At Dirtfish Rally is a good way to let us know what you think, and dirtfish.com is there for all your rallying motorsport needs.